child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter. Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter.
Someday, yeah, we'll put it together and we'll get.
Good afternoon, happy New Year's Eve, and welcome back to Naturalistic Support. I'm Arnel Doré, and joining me today is our co-host Elaine Durbach. Hi, Elaine.
Hi, Arnel. Hi, how are you doing?
All right. We're still trying to get Elaine completely on board here, so hopefully that'll happen.
I'm listening, and I'll catch up with you.
Yep.
So far, yeah, we're still trying to catch up here.
Okay.
Technical problems,
yeah,
always.
Yeah. Well, that makes the show the interesting conundrum that it is.
Just pretend that I'm one of the listeners calling in, okay?
Yeah, I'll pretend that. Naturalistic Support is a unique approach to lasting personal growth and healthier, more satisfying relationships. On this program, we help each other, combining a progressive understanding of our human experience with peer support. So that peer support part involves you calling us to talk about yourselves and to talk to each other as well. Our number is 212-209-2877. And today's topic is our hopes, fears, and dreams for the new year. What do you hope to accomplish this year? Are some of your unrealized goals from last year on this year's list? Or do you have new goals? What do you dream of doing in 2026? What do you think you'll actually do? Call us at 212-209-2877 and tell us about your hopes and dreams and maybe your fears as well.
I would love to hear from people if they have plans for us.
Yeah.
You know, for the wider society. If we can come up with some vision, you know, a hopeful and a kind of a forward-looking, optimistic view, as opposed to the kind of worry and despair that people have been expressing.
Yes. And then, you know, at the same time, we want to hear about your hopes, dreams, and fears having to do with your personal experience, because, you know, on a societal level, you know, we're WBAI listeners are probably all hoping the same stuff and probably all pretty concerned and freaked out about the same stuff. But it's in our personal lives that really we have the nuanced experience and personalized experience that we want to hear about. Again, our number is 212-209-2877. Having hopes and fears can be healthy, guiding us toward our goals and helping us stay clear of situations which we're better off avoiding. The key question, though, is how much do our hopes and fears dominate our consciousness? For example, if we feel so much fear that it causes us to freeze and get stuck, well, that obviously isn't helpful. And when it comes to our hopes and dreams, even those can be unproductive if they cause us to beat ourselves up over what we've not yet accomplished. By applying a naturalistic humanist perspective, we can avoid a lot of unnecessary pain. So try to imagine this. What would it be like if you really accepted that the way you act at any time was the only possible way you could have? And how would it feel to know that at any given moment you were behaving in the healthiest way you could at that moment? Naturalistic humanism helps us understand how at any given moment we behave in the only way we can and in the healthiest way that our determinants enable. Our behavior is always the result of our determinants, but the way we think about our behavior, the way we think about what we want and don't want in our future, are themselves potent determinants. Naturalistic humanism offers us several naturalistic support techniques which can help us maximize our effectiveness. And we'll take a look at three of them.
This is what I've been waiting to hear from you, Arnell.
Yeah.
I want a how-to.
Yeah. Well, everyone's been waiting to hear, and now finally the moment of truth.
I was trying it out the other day. I was lying in bed early morning thinking, okay, I'm going to do exercises. No, I don't want to do exercises. Okay, I'm the sum total of everything that has brought me to this moment.
Yeah.
What does it produce now? If I do the exercise, what does it mean? If I don't do the exercise, what does it mean? And trying to catch that moment of sum total.
Yeah, you know, that's such a great example because, you know, when you want to do something and you feel you should, but you're not getting yourself to do it, you're resisting. You know, recognizing that not doing this thing that you feel you need to do, you might recognize that that's making you feel unhappy. That's making you feel lousy. It's making you feel not good about yourself. And that is a determinant too, right?
And feeling guilty?
You know, it shouldn't be feeling guilty, right? Okay. I mean, because you can only, as you said, you can only feel what your determinants up to that moment cause you to feel, enable you to feel.
But lots of us have guilt ingredients built into us too.
Sure. But usually guilt, I mean, you know, psychologists argue about the value of guilt. Some believe that guilt causes us to behave in ways that are healthier and better. But some believe that guilt can be destructive. We can do a lot of harm to ourselves with guilt. You know, guilt isn't the same as feeling like we are not pleased that the way we're behaving now isn't the way we feel we need to behave to be as healthy as we want to be. So, I mean, when it comes to exercise, that's a great example. That's kind of like when you're getting yourself successfully to exercise, you know, you're obviously getting yourself to do something that might be difficult, but you recognize that the benefit of doing it is it's stronger than your resistance to doing it. And, you know, it's so much of what we do is that balancing act between, you know, the parts of us that want this beneficial thing and the parts of us that are resisting. By the way, Elaine, I did send that out to you, so hopefully you'll be receiving that.
Okay,
that
no
file.
Sign of it yet.
Wow.
Which is odd.
Okay, yeah, that is odd.
We might be having, email problems, although I'm seeing other things come through. The mysteries of technology. Okay.
Yeah, it is.
I'm curious, If this is right off the track, you know, send me back. Go get back to what your thread. But I was wondering, as a parent, when you want to motivate your kid, and bearing in mind the principles here, can you be one more ingredient in that kid's sum total to motivate them to, you know, maybe shift course or rise above where they are?
Yeah, I mean, you know, parenting is so tricky, right? I mean, knowing what not to say seems to be absolutely as important as knowing what to say. And, I was going to say that could be more true at certain ages than other ages. But as I say that, I recognize that, you know, it's probably true at every age, that there are things you can say to a three-year-old and things you can't, and you got to know which ones are which. And when 10 years later, when the child is 13, same principle applies, except it's different things that you're filtering and different things that you're including. 10 years later, when the child's 23, probably the same principle applies, different things. But I can't imagine a time when it isn't true, because parenting is a delicate thing.
And it goes on forever, I believe.
Yeah.
My kid's 31. Yours are around the same age. I still want to shift his determinants.
Yeah, so much of what we have to do as parents is kind of bite our tongues and not say, you know, the thing that maybe our parents would have said to us. So a couple of things in terms of those three techniques that can help us maximize our effectiveness.
Okay, so I'm up to date with you here.
Yeah, so we're talking, making falsifiable statements, building on solid ground, and making have-done lists. So let's look at making falsifiable statements. Those can help us challenge our fears about our limitations, because sometimes we think about ourselves in vague terms. We might have a feeling about not being adequately equipped for a particular challenge. For example, let's imagine this person, Laura, and say that she's an engineering consultant and she was selected to make a presentation, the same presentation that one of her colleagues had made and had done successfully. But three of her own clients had turned her down when she had made that presentation. So the prospect of pitching it to another client kind of fills her with self-doubt and feelings of inadequacy. And she kind of thinks, you know, I just can't convince anyone of anything, or people aren't taking me seriously. So, you know, you could see how somebody could feel that way when they've been rejected a bunch of times. Now, applying naturalistic support, instead of allowing such thoughts to ruminate and debilitate us, we can reframe them by applying the principle of falsifiability. So this involves stopping and asking, is what I'm telling myself true? Specifically, can Laura accurately make the statement, I can't convince anyone of anything?
Wow, that's going right to the heart of it.
Yeah. Now, few people could make that statement and be accurate. There are numerous times throughout most people's lives when we are decisively influential. And this is also true for Laura. So testing the declaration, I can't convince anyone of anything, inevitably leads to Laura remembering events such as when she managed to persuade her close friend to join her on a trip to Europe, or even when she convinced her current employer that she was the right person for the job. I mean, she did get hired. For Laura, the statement, "I can't convince anyone of anything," is unequivocally false. And with each example that falsifies that premise, Laura is reminded of aspects of herself that she's momentarily forgotten.
Yeah.
Reconnecting to these accurate facts about herself helps Laura recognize that she can meet her present challenge. And to derive the full benefit of the exercise, once Laura has some examples that falsify her "I can't convince anyone of anything" statement, she can record her answers. Should such critical, self-critical thoughts reemerge, her list will be useful to her in the future.
And of course, you're directing that search. You're not asking her to find examples that verify her doubt. You're asking her to find examples that contradict it.
Yes. Well, you're basically saying, you know, can you make this statement? Like, you know, in science, you know, this is inspired by a process in science known as falsifiability, because you could make a statement in science that can't be falsified, such as fire-breathing dragons exist. You could make that statement, but the problem is everywhere you look might not be the right place where the fire-breathing dragon happens to be at that moment. So you look in your garage, you look down the block, you look, you know, everywhere, and you don't find it because you can't look everywhere, right? Because there's always going to be, actually, he's right now in the Empire State Building, you know, which you think you would hear about, but, you know, fire-breathing dragons can be very discreet. So that's not a scientific statement or a falsifiable statement, but you can have a falsifiable statement, say, the inverse of that, if you say, "All swans are white." Okay, that's a verifiable statement, because if you ever find a swan that wasn't white, you now have falsified that statement. And is it possible that you might come across a swan that wasn't white? Well, if there are swans that weren't white that really existed, sooner or later you would think you would come across them. And sure enough,
swans. Yeah.
And sure enough, in like the 17th century, explorers in Australia came across swans that were black swans. And, you know, that changed the whole calculus about white swans. They realized that you can't say all swans are white. So you can falsify it. A statement that can be falsified is a falsifiable statement, and those have great value in science, and they have great value in naturalistic support. Another example of how making a falsifiable statement can be valuable, we could talk about another imaginary character, Dwayne. Dwayne needs to assemble a dresser, you know, something maybe from IKEA.
Oh, don't remind me.
Yeah, I know. Like one of those dressers took me 8 hours and a bad back for 2 weeks.
And probably believing at some point that it could not be assembled.
Yeah. So Dwayne's finding it difficult, no kidding, to follow the confusing drawings in the instruction manual. Yeah, tell me about it, Dwayne. So Dwayne's a professor, and he spends most of his time reading, writing, and teaching, not putting furniture together. He can hear himself saying, "You know, I don't even know why I'm trying. I'm just not handy." Putting aside that being quote unquote handy is a vague notion to begin with, this example is relevant because it's often in just such nebulous terms that we diminish ourselves. If Dwayne tries to express his thought as a falsifiable statement, he might posit, I've never done anything that involves being handy. Okay, so is that true? That would be pretty easy to falsify if that was false.
So you're saying we should actually set up a statement.
Yeah.
In such a way that it can be tested.
Right. Yeah. So he makes a statement, I've never done anything that involves being handy. Then at first consideration, he might think, yeah, that holds up. That's true. But being handy is like a relative term. While he might not consider himself the most dexterous person that he can think of, he can recall helping a friend paint his apartment. Also, setting up Wi-Fi for his aunt. And more than once, jump-starting a car while being careful to avoid the contact between the positive and negative cables. I mean, all of that, you know, requires some degree of being dexterous and able to work within the physical world. So, like Laura, if Dwayne makes a list of examples of him being competent in ways he sometimes overlooks, that will be beneficial. So whenever we don't feel up to a task, we might try making a blanket statement like, I've never been able to cook anything. If we ask ourselves, is that really true? Most of us would find there are numerous exceptions. Well, I can fry an egg. You can fry an egg, right, Elaine?
Arnell, you don't want to ask me that on a public program.
Okay. And I have made a tuna salad. I know you make salads, Elaine. So
I do make salads.
Okay, so, you know, that's food preparation.
I've made grilled cheese, too.
Okay, so there you go. Grilled cheese is another. So making a falsifiable statement can even be as helpful as one reflects on something chronic like being late. If you make a statement, I've never been on time for anything, that enables you to recognize, you know, there actually are some events that you have been punctual for. And if you recognize those, that can help you understand what you do differently when you're not punctual. So that's the falsifiability technique, and that's
fascinating.
Yeah, that's valuable.
Really interesting. Yeah.
We have a caller on the line, so
great.
let's get to that. Let's see, we have to do that, and we'll unmute that. And this is WBAI. You're on the air. Who's calling, and where are you calling from?
Yeah, hello. Happy New Year. Can you hear me?
Is this Ed?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
I recognize your voice, Ed. Good. Happy New Year to you as well.
Yeah, thank you very much. Well, I caught the beginning of the program. Initially, you were asking about the aspirations and the fears and the goals for the new year.
Yep.
Well, when you're speaking about judging yourself in the self-talk, me personally, it's a very slippery slope. You got to learn how to give yourself a break. And I've always learned to realize there's nothing absolute about me. Everything is,
there you go,
is relative.
Yep.
And if you try to hang in those absolutes, that's where you get into that detrimental self-talk. You just got to give yourself a break. I mean, my goals for this year, I plan to exercise. I've dealt with some conditions with my health, and I need to focus on it more. So I've got some definite give yourself attainable goals. I've got some definite attainable goals that I can measure and I can reach. I've got some other long-term goals, but, you know, you can't be hard, for me personally speaking, because that's all I can speak. You can't be hard on yourself. You got to give yourself a break and realize that there's room and that, you know, you don't have to, it's not a fight. It's a journey.
And also building on on what you've done in the past, because I mean, it's not like you've never exercised before, right? You probably have, you've been in the military, you had to be in shape for that. And you've probably taken care of your health before as well.
Yeah, I mean, it was, as I get older, it gets more difficult.
Of course, yeah. Join the club, yep.
And just because I'm lazy. Like I said, you got to give yourself a break, you know. But as far as the new year, you know, like I said, I got some attainable goals pertaining to my health. I got some attainable goals pertaining to my financial condition and my living condition. My long-term goal is to leave this country, actually, because I've had enough.
Wow.
Oh, Ed.
I've had enough.
You're gonna bail, huh?
I got to get out. I mean, it's too much. It's really too much. It becomes, I got to ignore stuff because it becomes painful to me just to hear it. And there's a country that my parents come from. It's a place where I've got some land. Because due to some circumstances that took place,
you want to tell us where this is, Ed?
The St. Martin.
Beautiful! Wow!
Wonderful! Wow!
Wow! St.
Martin.
That's great.
Yeah, that's understandable.
It was a little piece of land that was given to my grandmother. She gave it to my father. When he passed away, he left it to me. And
nice.
I've been researching legal documents, trying to save up some funds, and hopefully by the end of this year, spirit willing, I'll be in a place where I can actually leave and either stay there temporarily or eventually permanently. But I'm looking into a lot of stuff. Like I said, I've had enough of America. I'm sorry, but y'all can keep it.
Well, you'll have to listen to us on the internet then once you're done.
I will. You'll hear me.
Great.
Saying, you know, it's good, you know, not to be too hard on yourself. A lot of people get caught up in that self-talk. And you can talk yourself into a hole, or you can talk yourself on the horizon, but you got to keep it real and you got to keep it light, and always remember.
Ed, can I ask a question?
Yes.
Just in terms of what Arnell was saying about finding the exceptions to what we say, finding if you can falsify what you said. You said that you're lazy, but when I hear you talking about this plan to get back to your land, you sound very energetic. You don't
ambitious.
Sound in the least bit.
Yeah, sound ambitious.
Do you still think you're lazy in relation to that?
Well, I mean, it's motivation. I mean, I can overcome the procrastination and the laziness, but it's what is motivating, you know. And it's always you always got to remember, you got to keep your eye on a prize. And for me, it's always there's got to be attainable steps to it. I come from a regimented childhood in the Army, my father, all those things. So if I'm making attainable goals, then I can see the big goal, or I can feel like I'm going to get to the big goal. But if I'm not, if I overshoot, then it becomes a fantasy. It doesn't become an attainable goal. It becomes a dream, and you get lost in that because you can't. There's nothing for me. I've got to have measurable benchmarks to get to where I want to be.
Measurable. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Ed, thank you so much, and hope this year gives you everything that you're hoping for, and what great goals you have. You know, right on.
Same to you.
That's
same
great.
To you, brother. I hope everything works out. May the spirit
thank you.
Bless you and have a good day.
You too.
All the best.
You too. That's very nice.
And what a wise man.
Absolutely. We're going to take a halfway break, and we'll be back right after this. Our number is 212-209-2877.
You're listening to Naturalistic Support right here on 99.5 FM. WBAI New York.
Non-commercial, listener-sponsored.
Peace and Justice Radio.
On Wednesdays from 2 to 3, Naturalistic Support is taking listener calls, offering a revolutionary new way to think about ourselves and reach out to each other.
I just wanted to call in to give encouragement to the last caller.
It hit right on where I am right at this moment.
You really hit the proverbial nail on the head.
I really connected with what you were saying about loneliness.
We are hardwired to help each other.
Getting past the blame, owning your own truth, letting go of judgmental thoughts.
I felt so fortunate to hear this.
You went through every single one of the things that I've been working on for my life. Now you said all that, I'm like, holy cow, what is this guy doing? Is he talking to me right now?
The Naturalistic Revolution is a game changer. Listen to us break it down on Wednesdays from 2 to 3.
I want to thank you so much. You helped me so much.
Try when your arms are too weary to reach the unreachable.
And we're back. You're listening to Naturalistic Support. Today we're talking about our hopes, our dreams, and even our fears for the coming new year. In addition to making falsifiable statements, another thing to consider when we want to make it most likely that we're going to succeed with our goals is something we call building on solid ground.
Okay.
Elaine, maybe you could share that with us.
Yeah, I think this is really interesting, having gone for the identifying falsifiability. Now we're going to the solid.
Yep.
Okay, reflecting upon the problems challenging us can have value. But if this is where our focus remains, we risk overlooking other crucial information, such as what we can learn from situations where we succeed. The importance of focusing on our strengths and on our history of overcoming challenges is similar to the idea that in order to build a stable and resilient structure, we cannot start out on a foundation of mud. If the structure is going to remain standing, finding bedrock or other reliable load-bearing strata for the foundation is essential. In science, new knowledge is also built on top of older knowledge, proven to be solid and reliable. And people are often more inclined to focus on the characteristics they dislike rather than on those they admire. And there may be evolutionary reasons for this orientation. For our earliest human ancestors who were vulnerable to predators, it would have been inconsequential to mistake the rustling of bushes.
Yeah.
of bushes for the presence of tigers.
Right. So if you got to defend ourselves now mode, and it turned out to be a false alarm, no big deal. Right. But
yeah.
The other way around, right? However, ignoring the rustling and finding out too late that it was a tiger, that would be pretty bad.
Yeah, that definitely would be.
Yeah.
Okay. So, sorry.
That would actually be very detrimental to your chances of reproducing.
Yeah, so the people ignoring tigers wouldn't last very long.
Yeah, so they wouldn't be, you're not going to pass down that gene of thinking, you know what, it could be a tiger, but I'm going to go with it's not. You know, no.
But it leaves us kind of jumpy about rustling bushes, even when we're in suburban areas with very few tigers.
Yeah, and it leaves us oriented toward looking at what's wrong with this situation, right? Being focused
what be
on
dangerous.
What might be dangerous, what might be threatening, what might be negative. We have another caller on the line, Elaine.
Oh, good.
So I'll let you greet this caller.
Sure. Hi. This is WBAI. You're on the air. Where are you calling from? What's your name?
I'm calling in regards to your earlier, the beginning part of your show. I think the previous caller reinforced what I'm about to say, and that is in regards to aspiration and setting goals that are achievable, not pie-in-the-sky type goals that are unachievable. I think that's a very good model to go by, because people sometimes set goals or they make resolutions for the new year that, you know, go to the gym, whatever, you know, eat less fat, eat less sugar, and it doesn't work out, it doesn't pan out that way. So I completely agree with him that achievable goals are the best thing to do. Do something that you know you can work on and achieve.
Exactly.
I also like, I have to say before I go, is that I do like your theme song that starts your show. It brings me back to the 60s, Ooh Child.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love
we
too.
Play a lot of 60s on this show. We like the 60s.
That particular
your theme song
tune is beautiful.
Especially, it brings me back to the 1960s. Anyway, that's
so
all
tell
I need
me,
to say.
Give me an example before you go. Instead of going to the gym, if you know you hate the gym, what would you suggest?
Instead of going to the gym?
Yeah, what would be a doable goal, you know, an achievable goal?
A doable goal would be to be a vegetarian like I am and to stay away from killing
too.
All these animals that do endure a lot of pain in the process. I've seen these videos where they slaughter these animals, and the way they do it is so, you know, extremely inhumane. Well, I shouldn't say humane because that would refer to human beings, but...
Okay,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I wanted to ask you about fitness.
Right, but Elaine was asking about exercising. If you can't get yourself to go to the gym, is there something in between that you could do that, you know, would be a more doable goal, as you expressed?
Well, take a course in gourmet cooking. You know, that involves...
Okay, so you're saying focusing on diet. Yeah, focusing on diet.
Yeah,
focusing
on something you can do that you can achieve.
How about walking
around
the block?
Now, I have to go to the gym personally myself, but, you know, I know that it's a very arduous process for people who are not motivated to do that. But if you can't make it into the gym, I mean, for instance, my girlfriend, as an example, I gave her a present for a gym membership. She went the first 3 or 4 days and then just quit. So clearly she didn't set that as an achievable goal. She just set it as, well, the new year started, that's my new year resolution, I'll do it. But it wasn't...
Boy, that is a loaded present to give a girlfriend, I got to tell you. That is a loaded present.
I would have loved lasted 3 days.
It's not a huge, you know, it's on a monthly basis. So after the second month, you know, I just told them to discontinue my direct withdrawal from my account. But from her point of view, you know, it was supposed to be an ongoing membership that would bring her up to speed. You know, your health is critical, and people take it for granted that they'll be that they live on this planet. If they don't take care of themselves, their body falls apart. And I know in my case, I could not be healthier. You know, especially at my age. I mean, I sound young, but I'm retired and I'm beyond young at this point.
Well, good for you, man. Just keep it going, and I hope 2026 gives you even more health and
thank you. You too.
And happiness. Okay,
you're
appreciate
well.
It.
Bye.
Yep. That's that. It's great, you know. People, it seems like that's on a lot of people's playing card. You know, keeping healthy for the coming year.
So I'm thinking about measurable goals, doable goals, and I think that's a good one I need to be reminded of. During COVID, I set myself a goal of doing art every day. You know, we were stuck at home.
Yeah.
I could not bring myself to open my box of paints or get out my pastels. So I started drawing very small portraits in a notebook of people who were on TV. I was going to be watching TV all the time, but I was drawing. And it actually got the art muscles going for a little while.
I didn't
follow through, so maybe this time I've got to find another doable goal.
Yeah. I think that that's really important to calibrate your goal properly to what you're ready to take on, and to be generous with yourself about what you're not ready to take on, you know, to just recognize that you've got to find, video games are a great example of this. One thing that makes a video game irresistible to people is it recognizes whatever level of difficulty you could handle and just makes it slightly harder than that for you to be able to really be challenged and get good at something. Because if the challenge is, you know, too little, it's boring. If it's too great, it's intimidating. And
but you get to win, don't you? You get to have victories.
You have to be able to have some victory. But, you know, those algorithms can make you lose too, but you lost by a hair. You felt it was possible.
So close.
Yes, yeah, so close.
I love what you say here about not only reminding ourselves what might be dangerous, which we do automatically, but reminding ourselves what we face successfully.
Yeah, absolutely.
That goes against our innate impulses, but it seems to be really helpful.
Yeah, right. And you know, no matter how small, if we don't acknowledge our victories, we're not fully acknowledging reality. And that's the foundation that we can, on which we can build ever greater accomplishment. And if you feel disempowered and overwhelmed, it becomes all that more important to acknowledge and try to compile as much as you can examples of you doing stuff that you feel good about, that you feel pleased with. You know, most people have instances in their past where they've demonstrated the strength that they feel they currently lack, but but to not overlook that, you really have to work hard. Our number is 212-209-2877, and we're talking about our hopes, our dreams, and our fears for the upcoming year. And we have another caller on the line. This is WBAI. You're on the air. Who's calling and where are you calling from?
Hello, Happy New Year. This is Attila. How are you?
Hey, Attila. Hi, good Attila. To hear from you.
Hey. Wish you all the best. Wish you both the best for the new year. Everything you wish to happen and everything you wish not to happen.
What about you? What are you wishing for?
I'm wishing that I'm going to continue to be focused and strong enough. You know, because even though I have a name like Attila, that doesn't mean I'm invincible.
That I'm
strong enough to stay focused to several goals that I have and just ways of life. First of all, since the pandemic, I try to have what's called a gratitude journal. And whether it's in my head or I write it down, every morning I try to say to myself, what am I grateful for that I have? What am I grateful for that I don't have, that I don't want? So I want to, you know, just continue along those lines. And in honor of the great anthropologist Jane Goodall, I'd like to live by something she had said, that we should teach by example. So, and what I mean by that is live a good life, try to forgive people. And like just now I was driving, not now, I'm not driving anymore, and someone was honking away and this and that. And in the past, I might have put up one of my hands with four fingers down and one finger up.
Yeah.
But now it's just like the person was honking as I'm making a right turn into a parking lot that it comes up quick. The parking lot came up quick, and it's just one of those dangerous areas.
Sure.
So instead of just honking and getting angry and putting up a hand with a nasty finger and this and that, I just waved like I'm saying, hi, how are you, kind of motion with my left arm as I'm driving.
Yeah.
And so I'm hoping to be able to continue just teaching through example and having that gratitude journal, because Lord knows when we look out there, there's a lot of madness going on, you know? So that's what
do
I
you,
have.
Do you manage not to beat yourself up over the stuff that you're, you know, that you want to do but you're not doing?
Do I manage not to beat myself up? Well,
yeah.
There comes that thing called guilt that you were talking about before.
Yeah.
And
I
definitely got my dose of guilt from my elders as growing up. And it does serve a purpose sometimes to motivate. So on one hand, I do beat myself up. I give the guilt trip to myself. But on the other hand, I say, give yourself a break. You know,
just keep
trying to do the right thing, you know, and just help other people and live a good life and appreciate this short, beautiful journey that sometimes gets a lot of hurricanes and tornadoes thrown down on it, you know?
Yeah, Attila, that's beautiful, and we wish you a happy, healthy new year, and really appreciate you calling in.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much. All the best to both of you, Elaine and Arnell. Thank you so much. Have a great year.
Okay. You too.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Elaine, we have another caller. Why don't you greet that one?
Sure. Hi, this is WBAI, and you are on the air. What's your name, and where are you calling from?
Habaragani, Elaine and Arnell. It's Daryl McPherson, Bronx, New York.
Daryl, good to hear from you again.
Welcome, and
that's
happy
interesting.
New Year.
I didn't get a pop, and the voice is real low, so that means I need to get some money so I can buy a new phone system for WBAI.
I like that motivation.
I want to thank you all for your programming and for your giving people tools in order to deal with the day-to-day. And that way, if they're able to deal with the day-to-day, they can then expand out and help other people deal with the day-to-day. And next thing you know, there'll be mental health in New York City.
Yeah.
And then around the world.
Yeah, that would change a lot of stuff. You could entirely change our society just by getting healthier, mentally healthier people. Absolutely.
That's what we're trying for. Yeah. Ourselves and
Daryl, what are you hoping for in the new year?
Equal time for free thought comes back.
that's a hard one.
WBAI gets the $5 million budget that it needs in order to bridge, so that it can activate the new communities that are supporting it, whether they know it or not.
Well, you know, Daryl, I have some good news. I have some good news on that front. I don't know if you've heard or if our listeners have heard, but our $150,000 goal, we just hit it. And
we
were just taken over the line with a few generous big donations, and
that is fantastic.
Yes, absolutely, and we're going to be here for you, listeners. So we're not
thanks
going
to people like Daryl.
Yep, we're not going anywhere, your continued support is much appreciated. But yeah, we could always. I mean, the budget of NPR is like $75 million. We're working on like. You know, like just hundreds of thousands. You know?
And we've got to keep it going, keep it coming
actually,
in.
They actually cut the PBS Channel 13, PBS actually.
Yeah.
They actually cut their Western news operation because of lack of funding. Now, just think about that, myopic that is with the number of people that they reach a day. And once again, what I'm saying is that if we have 3 million households that belong to unions that are already supporting the station from the leadership point of view, if we could A, get those 3 million people to listen to WBAI, that would boost your arbitrons, and two, if they send in $1, that's $3 million.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
So the larger that we get, the more people send out your program. Let's say after your show is posted to the archives, people send your program out to people who they think would benefit from it, and we get those people. Because, I mean, we're a worldwide operation. We got 8 billion people to reach.
Daryl, so one question. So about your plan, your hopes for WBAI are much appreciated. What about for Daryl McPherson? What do you hope for in the coming year?
To restore my mental abilities and my physical abilities so that I can be more effective and be a guide for those who are going through what I'm going through right now. I mean, I'm homeless and broke up the yin yang, but I see the way out. I mean, my mother died last year. Well, this is 25, right? My mother died last year. 3 months later, my intended of about 40 years died. Mm. I ended up in the hospital. And water under the bridge. Can't bring them back. So what do? I live up to the expectations and the promises that I've been given through my spiritual practice. And the more that I'm able to do that, the less challenging all this other stuff is. And the other thing is, keep it unpersonal. Fail to take anything that happens to you as something quote-unquote personal. Analyze the situation, find out who solved the situation, and to the best of your ability, make the correction so that you can move on, because you will be rewarded.
Yep. Daryl, thank you so much. You know, and I really wish that you have a better 2026. And as far as mental abilities, I don't know what your physical state is, but your mental abilities are sharp as can be. And considering what you're going through, man, you're really hanging in there. And you know, I wish you stay strong.
Yeah.
And we actually have to wrap up. So Daryl, good luck, man. And we'll keep calling in. Yeah. We'll talk to you again.
Well, all the best.
We'll speak on Ellen and Elaine. Praise you both for the work that you do.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank
Stay
you.
Strong, brother. All right. Well, it's time to wrap up, Elaine.
How did we get there so quickly?
I don't know. It happens. You've been listening to Naturalistic Support's Look at New Year's Hopes, Fears, and Dreams. I'm Arnell Del Rey, and joining me today was Elaine Durbach. Thanks, Elaine.
My pleasure.
Also, thanks to our patient engineer, Red Johnson, and to Hill Weiss for her support. Tune in again next Wednesday at 2 p.m. for another edition of our program. Archived editions of Naturalistic Support can be found on our website at wbai.org and at equaltimeforfreethought.org. And stay where you are, because coming right up is the Katie Halper Show. Hi to my foster mom, Marilyn. And remember, always try to be kind, because you never really know what someone else is going through.
It was always cold.